Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today we're podcasting from AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants are taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Assistant hitting coach Rick Shue will be one of our guests, left-handed pitcher Derek Holland, and all-star catcher Buster Posey. Also, we'll hear from Giants manager Bruce Bochy. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Inside the Giants clubhouse on Friday at AT&T Park, I had a chance to sit down with Giants all-star catcher Buster Posey. Buster, this team's been so up and down. Can you put your finger on what makes this team kind of click offensively and what you guys are going through right now where, you know, it just doesn't seem to be as good as it was before?
I mean, it's just the way a baseball season goes at times. You got to be able to stay. We've heard it forever. Even keel as much as you can and know that there's going to be some highs and lows, but hopefully at the end of the season you're where you want to be.
One of the real positives on this team is the young pitchers and what they've been able to do. Can you tell us a little bit about, especially Rodriguez and Suarez, just coming up from the minor leagues this year and what you expected and what maybe they did to exceed expectations?
Well, I think going into the year, we knew that it was going to take one, if not a couple of young guys to come and step up and not just be here but actually contribute, and both those guys have done that. They're kind of coming into their own and getting some confidence and hopefully keep it rolling.
What do you do with them when you first get them up here? I mean, it seems like they really trust you as far as the pitches, and they're not going to shake you off very often because they just know that you have everything together as far as the scouting reports.
Yeah, I mean, I think, success breeds confidence, and that they're starting to have some success, and you can see it in their body language on the mound and trust in their stuff that it plays here at the big league level. And, again, hopefully more good things to come.
What did you see from Bumgarner, Cueto, now that these guys are coming back that you liked, and what do you want to see those guys do, going forward now that they're getting more into the swing of the season?
Well, those guys have been around for so long, and they know what they need to do. So, for me, it's just a matter of trying to get on the same page with them and help them out as much as I can.
Before I let you go, as far as you're concerned, you're hitting the ball for good batting average so far. Do you want the power numbers to be up? I mean, what are some of the things you're looking at trying to improve in the second half of the season?
I think you just go into the game trying to think how you can, help the team win, whatever that is. Ultimately, that's the goal. Each day is trying to come out with a W, and whether it's offensively or defensively, you try to do what you can to contribute.
All right, Buster. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Buster Posey, also inside the Giants clubhouse. I sat down with left-handed relief pitcher Derek Holland. Well, Derek, you're in the bullpen now, and I know you've done both roles before, so tell us a little bit about just the difference of being a starter, being a reliever, and what you've learned that you carry into the bullpen that can work to your advantage.
I've done both roles, obviously. Being able to come around the pen in the playoffs is just the bigger thing that sticks out is your preparation. As a starter, you have more time to prepare before the game starts, whereas the reliever, you don't know if you're going to get called upon or any of those situations. You always got to be ready, and it helps you learn a quicker way of getting loose, compared to what I was as a starter. But they're both, they're great things, they're great roles. It's just you got to make the most of each one. Whatever opportunity you get, you got to go out there and do what you can.
You feel like you have to, kind of know which of your pitches is really going to work when you come out of the bullpen quicker because you don't have a lot of time to kind of work on it. You might only be out there for an inning or two.
Any guy will tell you the same thing. Confidence is the key. I mean, if you believe in any pitch, you know that you can execute it when you're out there. You're not going to sit there and worry about which one do I have. You're going to worry about executing the pitch in that situation. So you don't ever get too caught up in, well, do I have this today? Do I have that? You actually just go out and you pitch.
Let's talk about the journey of 2018 with this team. You know, you joined this team in spring training, hoping to make the club. You make it. You're a big contributor on this team. So what do you think are the positives so far with the ball club as you guys, you know, right near first place? And what are some of the things maybe you'd like to see improved in the second half of the year?
Well, I mean, for us, you know, we've done a very good job of having guys step in when injuries have happened, including myself. I feel like we've all, when we were called upon, we've gone out there and done what we needed to do to keep us in it. And you look at everything as we're only, what, 3 games out of first place. So, I mean, that's huge to have everything that we've had to overcome and to prepare to get ourselves ready for each game and deal with the issues of injuries and, you know, not having a good start. Somebody picks you up. Like, each guy has picked somebody up somehow, some way. And I think that's what's huge with the way everything is. But going into the second half, all we really need is just stay healthy and everybody's going to come back and do their part.
Do you enjoy lending some of your advice to the younger guys? I mean, you have a lot of experience and there's some younger guys on this team that are really doing well right now. But, you know, at the same time, they're always going to have some things that come up that they might want to ask a veteran pitcher.
I mean, yeah, I try to help as much as I possibly can. If there's something that they want to ask, I'm going to try to do the best I can to help relate to it. I mean, you know, there's going to be certain scenarios that I can't really answer because it's, you know, they got to go through it or whatnot. And the way that I've always learned everything is experience is the best teacher. You know, you got to go through all that and kind of go from there. But these guys have done a good job of handling themselves well and just seeing how the veteran guys do their things, you know, whatever it's from working out to running to pitching, however we carry ourselves, they try to do that same thing. So I think it's not always about talking to them. It's about how you carry yourself.
There's a lot more available to everybody now as far as, you know, scouting reports, video, maybe from when you first came into the league. So how do you use all that? And was it a little different, you know, jumping over to the Giants, you know, new division and all that stuff compared to where you were before in the American League?
Definitely technology has picked up. I mean, you're right on that. But switching over from American League to National League, yeah, it's a little bit different just because you know, you get to face a pitcher now. It gives you that, I could say, the easier out in the lineup, but you still got to go out there and pitch no matter what division you're in. These are all big league guys, so you can't take anything away from them just because they're in National League or they're in the American League. You still got to go out there and make your pitches and execute. So the difference hasn't really changed. It's just more about being out there and, you know, doing your job and executing the pitches that you want to throw.
What about when you know a guy that you faced a lot? I mean, you just kind of know his tendencies, and of course he knows yours, compared to when you're just facing that rookie guy and you've never seen him before.
Well, the game's all about, you know, changing. You know, I mean, you got to be able to adapt to whatever the scenario is. Each guy changes, you know, their approach every time, and I'm going to do the same thing too. Just because I may have had good success, all it takes is one, you know, thing to happen. It could change. So you got to continue to keep staying on your toes, focus on what's going to happen, and making the pitches that you need to, because, you know, they're adapting as well. They're trying to change. They might have something different on me that they didn't have before. So, excuse me, each thing is different. I mean, that's going to a different team, you get a different strategy, a different way to approach people and pitch and everything. So it just kind of depends on where you are.
How did it affect you in your career that you weren't the first-round draft pick? I mean, you were, I think it was something like a 25th rounder, and you came out of a community college in Alabama, so you sort of had something to prove right from the get-go. Is that something that maybe you've carried with you throughout your career that, you know, there's always something to prove?
Well, yeah, there's always going to be something to prove no matter what. I mean, there's, the way I look at it, there's 1,000 guys trying to compete for 25 spots. What are you going to do to keep them from taking that spot from you? Doesn't matter what round you're drafting. I've seen guys that have been first-rounders that don't make it to the big leagues. I've seen guys that are, you know, whatever, late round guys that make it to the big league. So it's not always about where you get drafted or any of that stuff. It's how hard you work, you're developing, and, you know, the way that you just go out there and pitch and compete.
What do you do in between outings? I mean, you mentioned the difference between being a starter because you have more time in between. So as a reliever, what goes on in between as far as the work to get ready?
There's a lot of preparation, watching video, working out, cardio. You're doing all kinds of things to keep yourself active. That's the thing that I strongly try to put out there to people understand is we don't just go out there and just pitch. We're doing a lot of things, from studying to throwing our bullpens, working on our mechanics, working on our off-speed pitches. There's constantly working on craft. And I want people to realize that we don't just go out there and okay, here it is. You know, we got to take the time to practice and get things going, especially if we go through a tough time. We got to find a way to get ourselves back out, just because it's, you know, it could be a little mechanical issue, 1 second off or something like that. So there's a lot of stuff that we're doing off the field, both, you know, to help the community, but also to help us to perform on the field.
Is it easier sometimes to correct one thing in the mechanics? Because if you have a couple that you're working on at one time in your bullpen, isn't that a little more complicated?
It's just more about timing. What it really comes down to is just trying to get things the right way. You know, we want to get in that same groove, because when you're doing things right, you don't really spend as much time worrying about it. Whereas when you do something wrong, you spend a lot of time trying to figure out what you did wrong. So the way I've been trying to carry myself and do it is, you know, keep that same positive attitude no matter what. Win or lose, you keep the same attitude, stay focused, keep working. Everything's going to come back to where it needs to be. But you can't, you know, you're not going to spend a whole bunch of time like, man, I just need to do this one little thing, you know, just to try to get back on track. A lot of this game is timing, and you got to have the right time.
People talk about clubhouse chemistry all the time. How important do you think that is? I mean, as far as, you know, during a long season, having some fun, having some laughs, you know, maybe being a practical joker, how does that fit into a team, and especially with this team this year?
Well, you just try to keep it loose. You know, you're not going to win every single game. The thing that you want to try to do is, if you have a bad game or whatever it is, you want to try to get it out. Try to let everybody forget about it so we can focus on the next game. Also, on top of that, you know, the chemistry we have here is unreal. You want to be able to come to your workplace and feel good about it. You don't want to be going to the work and feeling dreading it because, oh man, we're not doing. You got to change that. You got to keep the positive attitude. Keep trying to push and get better each time. And the guys that we have here, we feed off of each other that way. And I think that's what makes this team so special, is each guy is willing to do whatever it takes, and they will keep it as loose as they can too.
It's not the easiest thing, though. I mean, let's say, you know, you give up a home run, you're an emotional guy, you're a competitor, and you're trying to put it behind you. Is it sometimes harder than other times, depending on your attitude about it or your mood about it, to just put it behind you because it means so much to you?
Well, I'll put it this way. If I'm facing you and I give up a home run to you, I'm not going to sit and worry about that, because if I do, I'm going to lose focus on the next guy and I might give up another home run. So it's the quicker you can forget about things, the better it is for you. And that's what people need to realize is, we can't sit and worry about something just because whatever, we gave up a bunch of runs or whatever it is. You got to focus on what's next. And I think that's what really means the most to a lot of these guys, is how quick people can forget things.
All right, the last thing, I think every time I've come up near your locker, I see you got all these T-shirts. They're all like fun T-shirts. Is that your hobby? Are you collecting a lot of these fun ones?
That's just me. I just want to dress casual, you know, be myself, goof off with it. I'm not trying to do too much. But yeah, if I find a cool T-shirt, I'm definitely getting it and I'm going to wear it.
All right, and the next time when I have you out in the dugout alone or something like that, I got to ask you to do some impressions, right? You're still working on impressions, right?
I mean, I just try to have fun with it. I'm not trying to, you know, worry about that stuff too much. But, you know, it's just something I do whenever I'm, you know, hanging out, I guess, in my spare time. It's kind of something I like to do and just watch things and try to pick up on that voice.
Probably going to have to get a Crook and Kipe going at some point, right?
I like my job. I don't want to lose any of that.
Right. Derek, thanks a lot for the time and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Giants lefty Derek Holland. I also had a chance to talk with Rick Shue, the assistant hitting coach of the Giants. Here was that conversation before the Giants-Cardinals game on Friday. Well, Rick, you know, certainly the Giants have been up and down in all parts of the game, and especially lately, you know, the hitting kind of took a slide after that great series in Arizona. Can you put your finger on, you know, what gets this team going, what makes it click, and then what happens when it's in a slide like this one?
I think a lot of it's just tough pitching, man. We went in Arizona and battled and scored a bunch of runs and scored enough to beat Corbin, and then go into Colorado where you score a lot of runs and face some nasty lefties who have been pitching good in Colorado and out of Colorado. Freeland's been dominating, Anderson dominated the Dodgers, and faced a couple tough guys, and you know, came back home excited to play last night and ran into another tough guy. So just a matter of trying to hang in there, manufacture some runs, get on the board, and, you know, hopefully we start banging.
You remember what it was like as a player when you have it rolling. I guess you don't really change anything around, but if things are starting to slow down a little bit for you, you know, are you doing a lot of extra work? Are you looking at video to see what's happening to your swing? You know, how do you get that balance between, you know, overthinking it and trying to do the right thing?
A little bit of both. I mean, all of our guys are, you know, veteran guys, and everybody's got the routines we do in the cage. And then that's part of my job is, you know, get in there and tweak some things, looking at video when they're hot and what they're doing now as compared to, you know, when they're going 3-for-4 instead of 0-for-4. I think a lot of it, I mean, last night we had some great at-bats, and, you know, they played some good defense in the outfield. We squared up some balls right at people, and I think it's just a matter of getting some timely hits, and hitting a few homers would help.
Brandon Crawford, he made an adjustment, you know, moving his hands up. I don't know if that's the only adjustment he made, but it really made a big difference because, you know, he was hitting under 200 the first month of the season, and then he just took off after that. Is it sometimes that one thing? And what have you noticed about Crawford that really got him going on an all-star path?
Well, first thing, I mean, he was struggling at the time, and it was like, you know, you start overthinking stuff, and I go, hey, just look at the back of your bubblegum card. You know, you've always hit, you're going to hit, don't panic. You know, you're just a little late right now, so we got him, you know, get his hands up early to where he's not rushing, he's a little bit late, so I put him on time, and everything kind of clicked for him. He's always been that guy who's, you know, driving in runs and give you solid at-bats, and I think he's just, you know, kind of, there's no telling what he can do. I mean, as far as, you know, average-wise and driving in runs right now, he's probably the best position he's been in, and I think as you get older you really mature as a hitter. He knows the league, the confidence is there. He's been really special for us.
Go around the diamond a little bit. I mean, his double play partner Joe Panik is a guy that, you know, hits a lot of line drives, and it seems like he hit into a lot of bad luck, and then his batting average dropped down. I mean, did he lose any confidence? I mean, has he changed anything? What's he trying to work on right now?
I think with Joe, he got off to such a great start and was really rolling, and then have the setback and, you know, miss what, a month and a half with the injury, and then coming back from that, playing a little catch-up, trying to get his timing going. I think his timing is a lot better now. His path's much cleaner, and then just matter running some hard luck. He's really hit a lot of hard hit balls, had a great series in Arizona, going to Colorado, and like I said, faced those tough lefties. And last night he squared up some balls, and his path's real good. I see him getting hot. He swings at strikes. He's a barrel finder. I'm not worried about Joe. He'll get it going.
Brandon Belt's having a really good season, hitting home runs. And, you know, sometimes it's amazing how he's beating the shift because he's not always hitting to the opposite way against it. I mean, he's kind of just driving the ball through the shift or over the second baseman who's playing him deep. What have you guys worked on as far as that shift and even not just Belt but other players dealing with the shift?
Yeah, you really don't want to think about it too much. It gets in your head a little bit. So, I mean, really for Brandon, he's a line-to-line guy. And I think with Brandon, the big thing with him is just not trying to get too pull conscious and use the whole field. One of the things we've worked on, you know, since spring training is really trying to stay tall and stacked where he can use that, you know, that length and, you know, his ability to be able to leverage the baseball by staying tall instead of getting – he has a tendency to get small and come up out of there and drag the barrel. So we're trying to stack and jack.
Yeah, I mean, when he stays tall, it looks like he's hitting line drives everywhere. And that always seems to be the case, you know, if you want to hit well for a high batting average, hit line drives. But these shifts, as you said, you don't want to think about them too much. It looks like they're here to stay unless Major League Baseball figures out a way to limit those. I mean, how much different is it from when you were playing? You didn't have those overshifts very often. Now you have them so much.
It's hard to get hits these days. I mean, you know, the percentages there. You are who you are. You know, you're a pull guy, and you know, oppo in the air, pulling the ground, and you know, every time you square up the ball, you're hitting it at somebody, it gets frustrating. It's hard to find those holes out there, and it's just a matter of, you know, staying the course and just trying to barrel up the baseball, and hopefully, you know, they start falling in. You know, if you hit over the fence, they can't shift that. But I mean, you can't get frustrated. I think they need to do something about it because, I mean, the offense is down. You see a lot more strikeouts. You know, it's just hard to find green grass out there.
See a lot more power these days, a lot more home runs. Gorkys Hernandez is one of those guys. Last year, he wasn't hitting them. Now he is. Can you pinpoint what it is, or what does he need to keep doing to you know, put up those power numbers?
I think it's a combination of things with Gorkys. I mean, just the opportunity to play every day, you know, that gives you confidence. Being healthy, you know, I was with the Nationals the last 5 years, and didn't get to see Gorkys last year, except when we played against him. I knew he was real hot and then got hurt and played through his injury. So health is a big thing this year. He's been staying healthy and also finishing with two hands to where he's not reaching for balls, to where he gives him better strike zone discipline. When he's letting go with that top hand, you know, he chased a lot of balls in the dirt, and he's really been going, trying to two-hand finish. It's giving him more leverage and swinging at strikes.
Speaking of that, it seems like Pablo Sandoval has adopted a new philosophy because a lot of times he would swing early in the count. I mean, he seems like he's the kind of guy who can hit pitches that are just an inch above the ground or way up, you know, at his letters, but he seems a little more picky, you know, that he's trying to swing at strikes these days.
Yeah, he's. I mean, that's Pablo's big thing. We're just trying to get him slowed down, and, you know, less is more with him. He starts trying too hard and goes out of the strike zone and rages out there, and his path isn't good. So we're really just trying to get him to strike zone discipline and just slowing the game down. You know, he's a hard trier. You know, you love him, and, you know, when he's in that good position, he's got great hands, like you said, and can hit a lot of balls even out of the zone. But it's just a matter of slowing down and being in position with his lower half to where his hands can work.
A lot of people are talking about launch angle. How much do you guys concentrate on that? I mean, some hitters might get obsessed with it. I know it's a big topic around baseball, but what are the Giants doing as far as that?
I mean, we have all the information. The analytical guys put it up, and you know, some of the guys look at it. I mean, basically, we're just trying to square the ball up. And, you know, you get some extension out there. Your launch angle is going to be in the 30s, and you can hit fly balls, and you can hit home runs. You know, you get a little bit deeper, you know, your launch angles aren't there. But it's, for me, it's just a matter of, you know, barreling up the baseball. You know, you consistently barrel up the baseball, good things are going to happen.
You're a guy who had good power. I mean, was that something you thought about? Maybe it wasn't called launch angle then, but was it something that you thought, you know, hey, I need to backspin the ball out of here. Or there are different ways that I'm going to swing to hit a home run.
Yeah, it's just a matter really of understanding, you know, who you're getting pitched against, what they're, you know, trying to throw you. You know, if you're getting balls middle out, you know, you're going to back it up and try to get extension in the opposite field. And you got a guy's pounding you in, you want to get the head out there and get some pulse side damage. You know, it's a lot enters into it. And just who you are. I mean, I had Ryan Zimmerman, you know, for 5 years in the big leagues, and everybody's talking about his launch angle last year. The biggest thing with Zim last year is he stayed healthy and he was consistent. His timing was there. It wasn't nothing different about launch angles. He was just able to stay healthy and be in good position to hit.
You've been around a lot of different hitters and a lot of different managers. How does this compare here with the Giants and being with Bruce Bochy, who's been a manager for a long time, you know, maybe has his set ways of doing things. How do you compare it to all the other guys that you've been around?
Oh, man, he's special. You know, I've always been another dugout. I'm a NorCal guy, so I always, you know, follow the Giants, and, you know, he's special from what he's done here. He's got respect for everybody in that clubhouse, and it's I really enjoy working for him just because he values your opinion. You know, he's always talking about lineups and what you think, what he got on this, to where he makes you really feel like you're, you know, helping out a lot more. You know, I've had managers before where I just kind of got my own little niche here, but, you know, he's a great communicator. And, I mean, to be where we are at right now has been amazing, you know, with all of our injuries, with our, you know, top three guys going down, our closer going down. We lost Longo. We lost, you know, Panic. We lost Bell. We've had so many injuries, and still being in the hunt, it's a credit to what Boach has done.
You guys are in the hunt. By the way, being from Northern California, Sacramento area, a lot of baseball players coming out of there. Now, which teams did you root for growing up? Were the Giants a team that you followed as a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta confess, it was the A's in the 70s, just because, you know, they were winning the World Series and swinging A's and Reggie and Biden and all those guys, and the Giants. And then I was also born in Philadelphia, so I followed the Phillies. So I ended up signing with the Phillies for my, you know, first pro team to sign me, and being the, you know, playing the big leagues is exciting. But always a NorCal guy.
Yeah, if I remember right, you followed Mike Schmidt at third base. I mean, I think the timing was right there. So tell us about, you know, being around the Phillies at that time and the type of ball club they had, and if you got to know Mike Schmidt very well.
Oh, I got to know him. Yeah, it was just pretty surreal, you know. Growing up is like, you know, as a, like, the only Philly fan in NorCal, and being a third baseman, Mike Schmidt was my idol. It was pretty surreal to, you know, make it to the big leagues at 22 and be playing with him, and, you know, Gary Maddox and, you know, all the guys that, and Steve Carlton and Schmidty and all these guys you've idolized, and all of a sudden now you're, you know, suiting up with them. And it was pretty neat. And Mike's a great guy, Hall of Famer. He moved over to first base, and I played third for a year. Then he said, I'm going to go back to third. So that kind of maybe prolonged my career. I was able to be a utility guy and play all over the infield and outfield.
Yeah, I remember that. I was talking to you before this interview about how I saw you play a little more at the end of your career at AAA, and you broke the windshield on a bus that we were taking home because you had a home run over the wall in Ottawa. I'll never forget it, and boom, right into the windshield. So is that one of the better stories? I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of stories, majors and minor leagues, but that's the one I remember about you.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. You kind of remember your major league homers. I know my first major league homer was off of Mark Davis, who was a Giant. And, you know, it was like one of my first games, second game playing in the big leagues. And, you know, the game's televised back home when I was playing with the Phillies. So I knew everybody back home saw me hit my first home run. And then I got to coach with Mark Davis in Arizona. So I'd always ask him every day when I come in, hey, Mark, who did I hit my first major league home run off of? And he'd always say, it was me. But that was one I'll always remember. And, yeah, so don't remember breaking the bus window, but don't tell anybody. I might have to pay for it.
It is cool, though, when you see the new guys come up. I mean, you see like an Austin Slater. You know, he got some time last year. But Alan Hansen has had sort of a, you know, road to the major leagues where he didn't get a lot of playing time. But then when they get an opportunity, it's just great to see, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all about that opportunity, taking advantage of it. And Alan's done a wonderful job. You know, he's gotten to go out there and play all over the infield, and he's been a big spark. You know, he can run, plays infield, outfield, hits the ball out of the park. It's exciting. You know, you get an opportunity. You know, even if it's one game, you want to, you know, try to get knocks and stay in there. And you got a window opens, you got to jump through it. And Hansen's done a great job. And Slater hasn't got the consistent playing time, but he's been a nice piece for us and has some good games. And I think he had, what, three doubles there in Arizona for us. And, yeah, he's been fun to watch.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Really appreciate the time. Good luck with these Giants hitters.
All right, thank you.
That's Giants assistant hitting coach Rick Shue. Well, Bruce Bochy talked to the media, talked about a number of different topics, including what's going on with the Giants right now and their offense that has struggled the last four games heading into the Friday night game against the Cardinals.
It's baseball, the ups and downs that you have to deal with, during the course of a season. And as I've said, too, it's what's how you deal with these times that are so important. And for us, we got to come out of this. You know, all of us got to step up somewhere. We can't dwell on what's happened, and then you kind of compound the problem. So, you stay upbeat every day. Hey, we're going to come out of this, get these bats going. And we have run in some good pitching here. The one thing we don't do here, hang our heads or anything. You got to put these games behind you. And really, the good streaks, too. You can't, celebrate too long because you got to come out here the next day. So that's what we're doing. And hopefully today's the day when we get these bats to wake up and start putting some runs on the board.
Bochy also talked about getting Alan Hansen in the lineup as much as possible because of all of the skills he has displayed.
Well, he's an exciting player. He is. With the speed that he has, but also the power. I mean, that plays well in this game. And so that's why we're doing all we can to find a spot for him. And his versatility has really been helpful in doing that, whether it's in the infield or out in left field. And he's an important player for us. When he came up, he played a big role in winning a lot of ball games for us with that power and his speed, his defense. He's got range wherever you put him. So he allows you to be creative with the lineup.
As far as the rotation goes, Bruce Bochy also talked about how Johnny Cueto pitched on Thursday.
First inning, looked like he was trying to find his way there. He's trying to get the feel, and that's what he'll have to change a little bit when he comes out the next start. Because as you know, that first inning counts, and gave up a crooked number there. But after that, I thought his stuff got better. And I said, that was really encouraging. We'll see how his bullpen goes tomorrow, and then we'll pitch him.
And Bochy told us about Derek Rodriguez, who got the start on Friday for the Giants against the Cardinals.
I tell you, he's been really a nice surprise how he's pitched up here. And I shouldn't say surprise. I mean, without a lot of them, that's why we signed him. But for a guy that I didn't know a lot about, but a converted guy, and where he's at this stage of his career is impressive. The fact he's got four pitches, he's got command all of them, he holds runners, fields his position well. He's got a good feel for pitching, and that's impressive for a guy who really has not been pitching all that long.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. I want to thank our guests today, Buster Posey, Rick Shue, and Derek Holland, for joining us from AT&T Park in San Francisco. We'll be back out at the ballpark on Wednesday as the Giants take on the Chicago Cubs. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.